Head On Radio News. I'm Bruce Birch. The USS Enterprise is en route to the Middle East. This aircraft carrier will be joined by the USS Abraham Lincoln and the USS Ronald Reagan, which is already in the Persian Gulf. There is wide speculation among military analysts that this buildup is consistent with the advent of airstrikes by the United States on Iran, with June being the targeted month. The U.S. tried to get a Chapter 7 resolution through the U.N. Security Council that would authorize military strikes on Iran in April, but was unable to do so. A number of independent sources place U.S. operatives in Iran already conducting clandestine operations, in addition to the Department of Defense using militant groups to conduct small-scale attacks on Iran. George Bush asserted again today that the NSA wiretapping was targeting only al-Qaeda and, quote, known affiliates, unquote. This was in reaction to a USA Today article that uncovered that the NSA wiretapping program was illegally compiling data on tens of millions of Americans, with the nation's largest telecom companies voluntarily providing the data to the NSA. Those companies, according to the USA Today article, are AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South. Quest Communications refused to voluntarily surrender data to the NSA and refuses to this day. General Michael Hayden, who is nominated for the post of CIA director, is widely known to be the central architect of this invasive domestic spying program. In a related story, the government abruptly halted a probe into the domestic spying program. The NSA refused to grant the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility the proper security clearances to conduct a thorough probe into the program, which has not been proven to operate within the bounds of established laws. The Justice Department, unable to investigate further due to the NSA stonewalling, dropped the investigation and wrote a letter explaining why. Afghanistan, the first nation that Crusader George Bush invaded after September the 11th, has announced a record year for growing opium. The illegal trade, eradicated under the Islamic fundamentalist Taliban, has completely regenerated and is on the increase so much that the opium prices are dropping significantly. Governmental eradication efforts are floundering as inspectors accept bribes to look the other way. Ironically, the Taliban is using opium profits to fund their resurgence. This is News on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
While gas prices in the U.S. continue to rise, in some places well over $3 a gallon, in Venezuela the prices are cheaper than bottled water. With the price of gasoline hovering around 12 cents per gallon, the Venezuelans are enjoying the benefits of the consumer-friendly governmental subsidies of gasoline. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is currently devising a way to spread his cost equalization policies to the poorer areas of the U.S., much as he did with heating oil over the last winter. The Republican culture of corruption continues. Representative Jerry Lewis of Redlands, California, the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, is now under federal investigation. There is ample evidence to suggest that Lewis is connected to the crimes of convicted Republican Randy Duke Cunningham. In Laredo, Texas, 56 illegal immigrants were found locked into a refrigerated truck with the key in the ignition and the refrigeration running. The human beings were gathered near the center of the trailer, hovering close together for warmth and to avoid the freezing walls. They were apparently loaded into the trailer on the American side of the border. According to reports, a driver was not able to be located. An anonymous call led Webb County sheriffs to the human cargo. In Austin, Texas, musician and author Kinky Friedman took his independent campaign for governor to state authorities Thursday, presenting 169,000 voter signatures he hopes will get him on the November ballot. Friedman said, quote, "All I can say is thank God for bars and dance halls," unquote, when explaining where he got the signatures. When turning his signatures in, he wore his trademark black cowboy hat and had the ever-present cigar. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome and good evening to this Thursday, late afternoon, evening edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's hard to wait till showtime. Sometimes the story that's leading the day feels so oppressive that waiting until showtime is a chore. Sometimes my sense of justice is so battered, so beaten, so bruised, that waiting until showtime has an element of outright anguish. This is one of those days. And of course, you know what the story is. Turns out that, what we've said all along is true. George Bush and his evil minions have been spying on us, on our phone calls. Oh, they say, we're not actually listening to them. We're just compiling them. We'd never listen in. No. No, they're making a database of every single phone call that takes place inside the territorial confines of the United States. Now, just for fun, ask yourself. If they don't want to listen to the calls, why do they want to know what calls were made when? What good's a database with no data behind it, huh? Agent Fred is no longer a joke. Then again, maybe he never was. You know, dig it. I invite you to call into this program. Maybe you've called other programs. Maybe you've called Aunt Ethel. Interview subjects, call this program, and every last one of those calls has been logged by the National Security Agency. And with those details, the NSA can find you, find me, spy on you, spy on me, search out your relatives, your friends, the old girlfriend, the odd old boyfriend or two. Have that talk with your boss. When your sweet little grandbaby calls you on your birthday, the NSA is there. When mommy calls from the business trip because the baby can't go to sleep without hearing her voice. The NSA is there. And when that call you dread more than death itself comes in the middle of the night, waking you out of a sound sleep, the call that means your world has changed forever, the call that is probably the most heart-rending and private of all communications, the NSA is there. And the NSA isn't a thing. The NSA, you see, the NSA is people. Thousands of people. People who think of themselves as Americans. You know, I said toward the end of the show last night that the Bush family doesn't care to govern. They mean to rule. This is the proof of that. A freely elected government wouldn't dare even contemplate something like this. A government perverted from top to bottom would. A government that has gone fascist would. You can't get away with this kind of conduct against citizens. But you can do whatever you want to subjects, to peasants. How does it feel, subject? How does it feel to know you aren't free? How does it feel to know that George Bush and his gang of thugs will do to you what they please, when they please, and expect you to damn well like it? How's that all working out for you, huh? Under George W. Bush, the executive branch, from the FDA to the EPA to the NSA to the CIA to the ABC to the DEF, has been transformed into a monolithic conglomeration of those little Eichmanns that Ward Churchill tried to warn us about and got pilloried for and took death threats over. We have come to a time of realization in this country, I think. No more rationalizations. We can no longer divorce what George Bush and his cronies do from those who do it for them.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
Well, I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office. That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
We're here discussing child development with some experts. Tell me the normal development of, say, a 2-year-old.
My truck.
So a child that age should know 2 to 4 word phrases. Good. And what about cognitive development? Ah, engaging in pretend play. I see. And what of social
development? Anna!
Being enthusiastic about the company of other children. All right, thank you.
It's time to change how we view a child's growth. It's not just physical. There are milestones your child should reach in how he plays, learns, speaks, and acts. A delay in any of these areas could be a sign of a developmental problem, even autism. The good news is, the earlier it's recognized, the more you can do to help your child reach his full potential. Talk with a doctor. Visit cdc.gov/act early or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn the signs. Act early.
In the beginning, there was dirt, water, and air.
And it was good. Once,
Planet Check. Planet Check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap, renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
And somehow or another, the conversation that we have, we have got to bring it home. We've got to bring it home to the rest of America that it's not just George Bush. It's not just George Bush anymore. It's the people that do his dirty business. That guy who works for the NSA down in the basement, databasing my phone calls, your phone calls, everybody's phone calls, he's as bad or worse than George Bush. He goes home every night, he kisses the wife, you know, he might hug the kids, he's worried about his bills, you know. Doesn't give a damn about the Constitution of the United States. He goes to sleep. He sleeps peacefully. Gets up the next morning, has the oatmeal, and does it again. Amen. And if somebody asks him about what he does, spying on the American people and spitting every day of his life on the Fourth Amendment and the rest of the Constitution, he says, I'm just following orders. I'm only following orders is no longer acceptable. The receptionist at the front desk of the NSA headquarters is only following orders. The IT guy who keeps her computer in service is only following orders. The electrician who takes care of the wiring for the supercomputers is only following orders. And that is what the banality of evil means. You can follow orders straight into hell. It's time we got a handle on this. It's time we understand. It's time we understood once and for all. We loathe George Bush. Some of us hate him. At least I do. I've tried for years and years and years not to, remembering the admonitions of my mother, God rest her soul, when she said, "You should never hate anybody." But I do. I do. I hate that man. For what he has done to the Constitution of the United States. For what he has done to innocents around the world. Sure. But you and I, we had better understand that it takes more than one jug-eared, pig-eyed, loutish son of privilege to destroy the country that my forebears, your forebears, fought and bled and died for. It takes to destroy freedom. It takes those little Eichmanns everywhere. And here's the news flash. Those little Eichmanns are more dangerous than a dozen Bushes because they'll do anything they're told. They've proven it. And in the end, they'll say, "I was only following orders." This is madness. Full-scale madness. I saw the clip of Deer Leader coming out. "We're not data mining. We're not mining. We're not trolling for anything. This is all completely legal, because I said it's legal. And if I say it's legal, it's legal." Where is my party? Where are the patriots? Now, I'm not talking about the minute men out in the desert scared to death of some brown poor dude. I'm talking about the people who have actually read the Constitution and understand what the Fourth Amendment means and understand that it says what it means and it means what it says. Where are they? Why do I have to turn on the evening news programs and listen to Pat Roberts running his filthy yap with Wolf Blitzer and say, "Well, the problem you got to understand here, Wolf, is not that we're spying on Americans.
It's that somebody has told Americans that we're spying on them. You see.
This must end. And it must be dealt with in a legal fashion. There must be a law out there that says this will, the American people shall not be. Richard Nixon went down for less than this. Everything else is a side issue, and maybe we'll talk about some of those side issues this evening. But the real issue is what we will do to peacefully and legally remove George W. Bush from office before he can destroy the United States of America. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
I've been wondering where you've been. Now and then I think about you and me. No use fighting about things we can't recall, 'cause it don't matter now at all. Just come on home, and baby, we'll laugh and sing, and we'll make love and let the telephone ring.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma, because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
That's where I am. That's where I am with the NSA and its damnable domestic spying operation and the damnable people from the top down who perform it. That's all there is to it. George Bush is culpable. His cabinet is culpable. What's his name? Haynes? Is culpable. He invented this crap, and they want him to run the CIA? This creepy little dude thinks that he is a law unto himself. You see. This is a seminal moment for the Republic. This is a test. We will either pass this test or fail it, and in the failing of it, we will lose our republic. The Fourth Amendment means something. Contrary to what we know George Bush said, the Constitution is not a GD piece of paper. Right? If we let them get away with this, the Republic is dead. It is that simple. It is that stark. Oh, I know, there's no such thing as black and white, and it's all shades of gray. Hooey! This is one of those clear issues. This is a bright line across which George Bush and his nasty, nosy, pestiferous people have stepped. Or so it would seem to me. Now, of course, you might differ with me. You might agree with me. You might be every bit as agitated, angry, horrified, furious as what I am. If so, don't leave the phone laying on the hook. We might as well let them enjoy it. The number is 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on, Agent Fred.
you bastard. Head on.
Learn it, know it, use it. There are people among us who call themselves Americans who are not, at least not in the spirit of Benjamin Franklin, who, when he was asked, "What kind of government do we have?" he said, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." Will we keep it? Will we? Are we serious about the hard work that is this republic, that is a democratic form of government? Are we willing to do that hard work? Oh, I've dashed off a number of letters already. I am in earnest about this. This is every bit as dangerous or more so than any attack by any fundamentalist Muslim terrorist that exists on the face of the planet today, because this affects us all. And I haven't even gotten to Bell South and AT&T and Verizon yet, baby. Oh, hell no, I haven't gotten there yet. Let's go to the phones. David is with us, calling from Tennessee. Hey, David, you're head on.
Well, hello, Bob, and I am so glad you kicked off with this, because when I started hearing this report today on radio, when I started hearing about this, I was so thankful that a few representatives and a few senators are squawking about it, even a couple of Republicans, and they need to, because they're in fear of their electability. But even tonight, I can tell that Agent Fred's, cutting through and dialing in to make sure he hears everything that's being said. And that routine about, oh, we're not mining and trolling, that is such BS. Once they have those numbers, then all the rest of it, it's like taking the sweater apart via that one little thread that's unraveling. They can follow it.
Oh, yes, they can. And again, I have to ask the question, David. What do you need? What do you need all the names and times and dates of the phone calls and where the phone calls were made to if you don't intend someday to go back and listen to them?
Or follow down, and you struck on something. Even if they don't listen to them and they just decide for some capriciously thought up little pattern they think they see, well, let's go talk to so-and-so's boss. Let's go talk to so-and-so's boss, because he's called this liberal talk show every night. He's called there 7 out of 9 nights. And we know that liberal talk show is dangerous and calls the president a chimpanzee and refers to Agent Fred. Well, here's another one for you, Agent Fred. That, what's his name? That guy with the alien-shaped head that wants to take over the CIA. There's another little scare factor for guys my age, Bob. All you've got to do is put some pieces of fried chicken around that guy, and he's Lester Maddox reincarnate. That is a scary. Go ahead.
No. I hadn't considered that, but he looks horrifyingly like Lester Maddox.
Body double, and I dare say the politics will fit perfectly. He's a Republican. Lester Maddox was the consummate racist. All you need is just, a pickaxe handle and a little fried chicken and a couple of other little accents, and there you are. And, Bob, I want to thank you, because I want this to be a short call, or else I just may blow a gasket on my end. There's an old guy about to get dangerous here in the next little while, and this is a great way to get dangerous. This routine that we've just got to be patient. And the poor little guy that wants to make sure the payments are made on that used Lexus, and it's not his fault, and he wants to make sure that that child of his in suburban Virginia doesn't go to public school, but goes to the private school where he won't have to rub shoulders with, well, those people. You're exactly right. They are the worst form of enabler. I don't want to hear anything about be patient. All we've got to do is just let the system take its course. I don't want to hear that. If I'm living next to somebody that works in one of those agencies, we owe it to them to start talking to them about the crimes they are making sure our government has an easier time of doing.
David, if it was up to me, there's not a single soul working inside the National Security Agency that would have a job tomorrow. Not one. And I don't care if they starve in the streets.
If anybody needs to be on some sort of an offender list, that's what ought to be on the Internet. Hi, this is Mary and Fred, foolish American. They work at the NSA, and they are making sure that your phone is tapped. Give them a call. Let them know what you think. And the number in Northern Virginia is... Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, who are these people? I mean, they go to, you know, they, up in Northern Virginia, you know, they go to church with you. They wave at you across the street, and they're common garbage, David. They are common garbage.
Well,
I'm not kidding. There's nothing ginned up about this. I am extremely angry, and I'm angry. I'm angriest at those people who will not. There's nothing in it for them to say this is wrong, this is dirty, this is nasty. But they live in a corrupt culture that tells them whatever they can do, whatever they do to the people of the United States is okay because we're all terrified of some 6'6" Arab dude in a cave in Pakistan with a portable dialysis machine. Sorry.
A man that has been found so many times and armed forces told not to bother him, he probably has marks painted on the wall of that cave. How many times he's been given a pass by people like George Bush, and he was a bomb. Oh.
I don't know. Something about this says that if we allow this to persist, and if we allow people to say, I got a mortgage and stuff. I work for the NSA. I mean, you know, but like, you know, I mean, I got to put food on my family, so I got to keep spying on the American people and helping my dear leader to do that. If we're going to permit that, David, if we're going to tolerate that, then at some point we just have to hold our little hands up and go, hey, world, that whole Nuremberg thing and all the rules, we were wrong. I was only following orders is a perfect defense because it's the only one we've got left.
It's the perfect parallel. It's a corollary that cannot be denied. And it should be spoken about. And I'm sorry. Anyone else's opinion about, oh, well, they deserve to hold a job. Well, No, they don't. They've got to develop some spine and backbone. You know, forget about the Lexus. Forget about the 40, you know, some odd inch big screen you're thinking about for Christmas. Drop back to rabbit ears and a 20 inch. What do you say? And be an American as opposed to a Bushista. All right. It's about break time, and I'm about to get so
mad that
I start screaming.
I understand. Thank you, David. I appreciate
it. For all you religious nuts, just stick with the golden rule. You know, anything beyond that, you're just trying to create a little clan, a little club, a little clique. I understand something you don't. Therefore, I'm better in the sight of God. Just stick with the golden rule. Let it go with that. You can live an entire life living up to just the golden rule.
And it's all the work you could stand to do in the world too.
You got it. All right, Bob. See you later.
Later, David.
Bye bye.
All right. Break time, as David mentioned. You guys know my format clock better than I know my format clock. What have you been talking to Agnes or something, and you're ganging up on me? Let's do go to a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. The number, of course, you know, God knows Agent Fred does, 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
There's no room, no space to rent in this town, you're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.
Been to the playground lately? If you have young children, you should take a look. Even though kids have been swinging and climbing and teetering for generations, playgrounds still manage to injure 500,000 kids each year. Check for hard landing surfaces, sharp edges, and broken equipment. Outdoor play is healthy for kids, but a playground that's unsafe and unsupervised can quickly become the pain ground. For more on playground safety, visit orthoinfo.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. It's very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Man underground.
Head on. On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Via email from our pal Hippie. Says, "Hi, Bob. Let's give Agent Fred a real thrill. On our Independence Day, all true citizens should call anybody, somebody, and say, thermonuclear warfare, dirty bomb, radiation, chemical warfare, or the like. If we all do this at high noon on the 4th, it should melt the NSA computers from an overload." I wish that was true, Hippie. I wish it was, but these supercomputers are beyond all that. However, you know, for several months now, we have made a point, Anthrax, in the middle of our conversation, Dirty Bomb, to just throw out a few words that might be picked up by the NSA title charts. Make them work. Make these rotten bastards work. These little low-level Eichmanns in the basement of the NSA poring over computers. Remind me the scene from Goodwill Hunting. Oh, can somebody find me the audio of that? You know, where he goes for the job interview. Let's go back to the phones, though. Our good friend Andrew is calling in from New York, and I'd hate to make him wait. Hey, Andrew, you're head on.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? I know. How you doing? Oh, my God. I mean, I guess they just erased the words "we the people" off the Constitution today, huh?
Well, yeah, and, well, what they did with it, I probably couldn't say in polite company.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I need some scotch tape for my my copy over here. But, if our, you know, congressmen and people that supposedly supposed to represent us don't stand up for this and get up and call the chimp on this one. I mean,
Andrew, they're not going to do it.
Well, then I guess we're on our own then, huh?
Yeah, we kind of are, because you know why they're not going to do it? Because it's an election year. This is wrestling.
Oh.
This is wrestling.
Oh, wrestling.
And Karl Rove is just out there waiting, Andrew.
Yeah. This is
so that if some, you know, I'm sure the thing you're going to, you know, Patrick Leahy had a little bit of a hissy on air.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Karl Rove's already got the machine ready. Patrick Leahy, soft on Terra.
Yeah. We know.
They live in fear of these thugs.
Yeah, and they're talking about, you know, securing the borders. We need to secure the interior. What the hell is going on here? This is a damn shame. And the whole world is standing and just looking at this and, like, just watching this so-called democracy just implode. And it's just, it's a damn shame. I mean,
well, I don't want to wear out anything that I've said before on the air.
I am.
But blood has been shed by my family for this republic.
It's just came so far. So far, just to end like this. I mean, they're gonna let it in like this. That's pitiful. I mean,
and gonna lay down with a whimper.
Yeah, it's just, what a bunch of cowards. That's all I have to say. And it's, I'm just disgusted.
I mean, I'm at the point. I feel like if I was to fly, you know, my father here at this place flies the American flag,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like if we flew it, we'd have to fly it upside down.
I look at the American flag now, and it doesn't even look like what it should look like. It might as well be a swastika on there. I'm just like speechless.
Well, Andrew, it's sickening. I mean, hippie there emailing in said, you know, what we ought to do on Independence Day. Maybe that's a good idea. On the other hand, I don't think I'm going to have much stomach for celebrating Independence Day.
Yeah, their computers are already imploding and overloading because they're tapped into everybody's phone. Everybody's phone. I mean, what useful information are they gathering?
I know for a fact there are some damn good banana bread recipes they're getting.
Yeah, they do. I know they probably knew I ordered up some chicken chow mein the other night, but what information are they gathering?
Well, it's craziness. Again, it is pure craziness. This really is. I've got this, you know, Andrew, I've got this rolling list of movies that somebody in the Bush administration has watched and not understood that it wasn't meant to be taken seriously.
No, it's not.
And this is that scene from A Beautiful Mind. This is where the Russell Crowe character is wandering around posting snippets from Highlights for Children and Field and Stream and Reader's Digest together and finding communist conspiracies. This is what they think they're going to get out of this.
I think they're just doing this, you know, the way they're doing it, so they can, you know, track us all, who supports Bush, who doesn't, and then they can just make up their story that much easier because they won't have any concrete evidence, so they'll just make up their own, like they did for Iraq and everything else that they do. They're just a bunch of criminals, like, ooh. Oh.
And the guy that invented all of this crap is going to run the CIA.
Hey, well, that makes sense in Bush world, but, I mean, who else would run it, you know? Why not?
Am I wrong, Andrew? Do you think there are any Democrats out there that are going to holler for heads to roll?
No, they're not. They're not, because they're a bunch of cowards. And, you know, it's like, that's the bottom line. I mean, they're a bunch of just, oh. And they don't know they're going to be sitting right in the camps next to us, too.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing. They got a D behind their name. They're going to be sitting in the camps with us. And right now,
hey, Senator, you going to eat your gruel?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be sitting right there next to us. Average Americans, right in there, and only the Republicans that support Bush and his minions, they'll be free. But all of y'all out there with a D behind your name, you're going to be right there in the prisons with us too. So get ready.
Yep. And the Green people, they're going.
Yeah.
And the Independents, they're going too, Andrew.
Yeah. All of them, all you libertarians, all of you, all of us. Only the inner circle is going to be allowed to be free. So,
well, did you see Dear Leader's little explanation? They hustled him out behind the microphone today.
And he was all tentative. You can tell he's lying because he was just like, you know, he was talking all soft and pausing and, you know, his normal.
Yeah, and still, in his little, you know, it was less than a minute long, and he still managed to offend the hell out of me, Andrew.
Yeah.
Because he said, we're not listening in on any conversations of any ordinary Americans. Now, why didn't he just say any of you peons?
Yeah. Hey, all of us Americans, we're all terrorists in his eyes. We're all terrorists in their eyes. Because we're not up for his corporatist fascist regime that he wants to create, which he has created, actually. He's created it. It's here.
So, well, moreover, Andrew, you know, his family is and has been for a long, long time dear, dear friends of the House of Ibn Saud in Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabians are scared of and you know, the people in the UAE, they're scared of people, of Americans asserting their freedom again. And, you know, if they're scared, then George is scared because George isn't an American. George is a Saudi.
Yeah, that's what he is. He loves to hold hands with him and kiss on him.
That's right.
So those are his true brothers. You know, that's his family. So he's just an extension of the House of Saud over here. And that's the bottom line. So, but again, only the inner circle is going to be free. The rest of you so-called Democrats or whatever down there sitting on your hands, not getting the truth out and not exposing these criminals for who they are, you're going to be right there with us. So you better get ready and prepare for it. Or you better stand up and make a stand and check him on it and stop this madness.
But, you know, what we're going to find out again, Andrew, is that the Republican Party, I mean, you know, for God's sakes, the Senate did the thing with the tax cuts today.
Yeah. Well, that you knew that was going through.
Yeah, it was a 55 to 44 vote, something like that. One Democrat, maybe two Democrats crossed the line.
Well, I mean, hey, you know what they're doing with all that money. They're just converting all that money into gold commodity. That's it. Because they know the dollar ain't worth a damn, ain't worth nothing. So that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing.
I wonder what Brother Can You Spare a Dime sounds like sung in Mandarin.
Oh, man. And then you got people around here, you know, crabbing about, you know, school budgets and everything else, you know, saying, school budget's going. Hey, your man's giving it all away. He's giving it away to the wealthy. Ain't nothing coming. You know, the federal funds ain't coming in anymore. So, but, hey, it doesn't matter anymore anyway. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I think the grand democracy experiment over here in America is pretty much on the slab. So.
Yeah, it's not completely cold yet, but it's going to take a lot of work to revive it. But I'm angry. I'm depressed. And Andrew, I feel kind of rotten for what I'm saying about the people who work for the NSA. But you know what? I mean it.
Oh, squirrel.
Those people, somewhere along the way, they got to have a conscience, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you would think they would have a conscience, but apparently they don't. I mean, there's a few that let you know that somebody let this story out, you know, leaked that story about the, you know, the logging of our phone calls and everything, but I don't know. You know, it's just, I guess they think they're part of the inner circle, but, you know, once they get rid of all of us, then they're going to come after them. You know, they're going to be
and they don't understand that. Andrew, thank you so much.
Game. All righty. Take it easy.
Have yourself a good evening.
Yep, you too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, Senator. Yeah, Congressman. You're going to be right there on the bench behind the barbed wire with us. Better figure it out. Your money ain't going to save you. Or do you think you can bow and scrape your way into their good graces? I don't know. Well, let's do another hour after the news. What do you say? You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. Call Agent Fred. He can give it to you if you haven't gotten it written down. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Slim's the slider. Horse she rides if white as snow. Tell it everywhere you go.
Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. The USS Enterprise is en route to the Middle East. This aircraft carrier will be joined by the USS Abraham Lincoln and the USS Ronald Reagan, which is already in the Persian Gulf. There is wide speculation among military analysts that this buildup is consistent with the advent of airstrikes by the United States on Iran, with June being the targeted month. The U.S. tried to get a Chapter 7 resolution through the U.N. Security Council that would authorize military strikes on Iran in April, but was unable to do so. A number of independent sources place U.S. operatives in Iran already conducting clandestine operations, in addition to the Department of Defense using militant groups to conduct small-scale attacks on Iran. George Bush asserted again today that the NSA wiretapping was targeting only al-Qaeda and, quote, known affiliates, unquote. This was in reaction to a USA Today article that uncovered that the NSA wiretapping program was illegally compiling data on tens of millions of Americans, with the nation's largest telecom companies voluntarily providing the data to the NSA. Those companies, according to the USA Today article, are AT&T, Verizon, and BellSouth. Quest Communications refused to voluntarily surrender data to the NSA and refuses to this day. General Michael Hayden, who is nominated for the post of CIA director, is widely known to be the central architect of this invasive domestic spying program. In a related story, the government abruptly halted a probe into the domestic spying program. The NSA refused to grant the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility the proper security clearances to conduct a thorough probe into the program, which has not been proven to operate within the bounds of established laws. The Justice Department, unable to investigate further due to the NSA stonewalling, dropped the investigation and wrote a letter explaining why. Afghanistan, the first nation that Crusader George Bush invaded after September the 11th, has announced a record year for growing opium. The illegal trade, eradicated under the Islamic fundamentalist Taliban, has completely regenerated and is on the increase so much that the opium prices are dropping significantly. Governmental eradication efforts are floundering as inspectors accept bribes to look the other way. Ironically, the Taliban is using opium profits to fund their resurgence.
This is News on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
While gas prices in the U.S. continue to rise, in some places well over $3 a gallon, in Venezuela the prices are cheaper than bottled water. With the price of gasoline hovering around 12 cents per gallon, the Venezuelans are enjoying the benefits of the consumer-friendly governmental subsidies of gasoline. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is currently devising a way to spread his cost equalization policies to the poorer areas of the U.S., much as he did with heating oil over the last winter. The Republican culture of corruption continues. Representative Jerry Lewis of Redlands, California, the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, is now under federal investigation. There is ample evidence to suggest that Lewis is connected to the crimes of convicted Republican Randy Duke Cunningham. In Laredo, Texas, 56 illegal immigrants were found locked into a refrigerated truck with the key in the ignition and the refrigeration running. The human beings were gathered near the center of the trailer, hovering close together for warmth and to avoid the freezing walls. They were apparently loaded into the trailer on the American side of the border. According to reports, a driver was not able to be located. An anonymous call led Webb County sheriffs to the human cargo. In Austin, Texas, musician and author Kinky Friedman took his independent campaign for governor to state authorities Thursday, presenting 169,000 voter signatures he hopes will get him on the November ballot. Friedman said, quote, "All I can say is thank God for bars and dance halls," unquote, when explaining where he got the signatures. When turning his signatures in, he wore his trademark black cowboy hat and had the ever-present cigar. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, that was just the beginning. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. That first hour, that was just a start. Yeah, they're spying on us. We knew they were spying on us. It's what they do. They fear us. They fear little old ladies calling other little old ladies about how the begonias are doing or whether the frost is going to take down the peach blossoms. They're afraid of that. They are scared to death that someone might stand up on his hind legs and start a return to the constitutional republic that this filthy administration has abandoned. They are afraid. You heard the story in the top of the hour news. This one more or less broke last night. The department. And come on, all right. I mean, we're talking about Alberto Gonzalez's Justice Department. The Justice Department launched an investigation into the NSA's dirty little secrets. And some little Eichmann at the NSA said to some Justice Department person, when they went over and said, you know, we were told to investigate you guys. Don't be mean to us. NSA said, you can't investigate us. That would take a security clearance. We're not going to give it to you. And the Justice Department person said, oh, okay. Is that your final answer? Final answer, Regis. Well, okay, we'll go back and we'll write a letter saying that you wouldn't give us security clearance so we can't investigate you, okay? So we won't be investigating you. Is that all right? That's fine. You run along now. You hear? And that's it. That was the end of it. Wrestling. Masked Marvel versus the Scarlet Contender. Wrestling. And the little functionary from the Justice Department went back to Alberto Gonzalez and said, oh, we couldn't have security clearance, so we couldn't investigate him, okay? And Alberto Gonzalez rubbed his little fingers together and went, excellent. There is no one within the executive branch of government with the integrity in their entire body that you or I have in our toenail clippings, okay? It's where we stand. You know, I don't know if it went down like that. You know, maybe they heard about the investigation and some Justice Department lawyer woke up with a horse's head in his bed with NSA carved into the hide. That's what we're talking about here, you know. What's his name? The constitutional law scholar, Jonathan Turley. The guy that was, admittedly, Jonathan Turley was really, really into the notion that we should impeach Bill Clinton over that stained blue dress. And Jonathan Turley says George Bush, well, come on, Dick Cheney, I mean, who are we kidding? Runs the White House, runs the executive branch of government like Tony Soprano runs his business. I didn't say that. Jonathan Turley said that. And that is where we are. You know, back up just a little bit because it might bear some reminding. Little Eichmann's everywhere. On the day Hurricane Katrina slammed into New Orleans, a former U.S. senator who had become a registered lobbyist was trying to get the manager of FEMA, Brownie, to schedule a meeting to complain about a no-bid contract that was heading to his client's competitor. Listen to this. This is the email that Brownie got from Tim Hutchinson, Arkansas. Quote, I am certain you are overwhelmed by the situation regarding Hurricane Katrina. I apologize for bothering you at this critical time and for going directly to you about this. This is what Hutchinson wrote. I would very much appreciate being able to bring the president of Blue Med Response Systems, Garrett Boyle, in to meet with you as soon as your schedule permits. Because, baby, they have paid me a filthy horse gagging load of money, and I don't care how many black people drown in New Orleans, or if every black person in New Orleans drowns, I got paid to do this, and I need your attention, Brownie. That's what we're dealing with. Oh, yeah. And, of course, Brownie didn't help himself. There was the email at 6:21 a.m. where he wrote, sitting in the chair, putting mousse in my hair. Oh, that rhymes. You can almost forgive that, though. You can almost forgive that in light of Tim Hutchinson, who, while people were breathing their last and getting ready to drown, was out there trying to hustle up a little more money on behalf of Blue Med Response Systems. Who is Garrett Boyle? And what kind of lack of parents did he have that he couldn't wait until the damned drowning was over before he started crying and bitching and moaning about the contract he didn't get? Because, you know, Garrett Boyle, you know, he hired Tim Hutchinson, and Tim Hutchinson, well, you know, I mean, isn't he like Asa Hutchinson's brother or something? And they're good Republicans. So he didn't have to worry about any of that business like you got to worry about over at, Health and Human Resources, Human Services, whatever it is. Or the secretary over there will stop your contract dead in its damn tracks if you say that you don't worship George Bush and have a little statue of him right next to your statue of Jesus and candles in front of each one. My God. My God. Let's see. Here's another quote from those emails. The same people that are spying on you, basically. I mean, you know, it's all one bottle. Little Eichmann's everywhere. Quote, if evacuees are refusing to leave because they can't take their pets with them, I understand that. So we need to facilitate the evacuation of those people by figuring out a way to allow them to take their pets. I don't know you, and I'm certain you don't know me. I've read all your emails as they arrived. Let me assure you, as an animal lover and the owner of numerous pets over my lifetime, this issue is being addressed. This is the response. And then Brownie. Brownie's at work on his image. Are you a member of PETA? I understand they're calling our office. I would certainly like for someone like you to explain to them my position on this matter. Jesus Christ. What's the old saying we have up in the hills? And maybe elsewhere, that you that someone would swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. Oh yeah, and while they're spying, well, we'll keep this rolling. This all it's just one thing after another. By the, you know, brought to you by the people who are more terrified of a quilting pattern or a quilting bee discussed in a phone conversation between a couple of widows. More terrified of that than they are of the people who blow stuff up. We've got a break to take. When we come back, your phone calls, 877, the number 4, head on, 877, Agent Fred, 443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of 6 U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Yeah, we're all scared and all alone, but what are you going to do?
Hangman is
we're trying not to be alone. That's what this is about. That's what Conversation Radio is here for. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's Thursday evening. We can call it evening on the even on the West Coast now, can't we? Sure we can. And Luke is joining us from Knoxville, Tennessee on line one. Hey, Luke, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob. Well, like I say now, isn't this fun? I tell you what, this thing with the spine thing, and then the one that's slipping between the cracks now is the Abramoff story. It's like, well, now you can trust us about these records that we're keeping on your all's phone calls. Oh, by the way, these Abramoff records, well, the two times we tell you he was there, they don't even include the ones we've already admitted to.
I know.
It's sort of, well, gee, manipulate records? No. I'm just waiting until the reporters up in Washington realize that, you know what, all those calls to all their sources, they're in those records, too.
Every last one of them, Luke.
So I wonder if the boys at CNN are all calling Quest going, can we get some phones?
Yeah. You know, that did kind of pop into my tiny little mind at one point. Quest refused to participate with this domestic database mining, and lo and behold, I can't get Quest.
Well, like I say, it'll be interesting to see next week, see what their stock price jumps.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we're limited. What can we do?
Well, yeah, the one I heard tonight was I was listening to one of them and said, you know, isn't it amazing that what I was talking about it? Oh, shoot. I think it was Begala I was listening to just a minute on CNN. He said, isn't it interesting how AT&T and Bell South are doing this, cooperated fully, and these are the same people that are trying to get control of the Internet from the government?
Well, not just that. AT&T and Bell South. Didn't they announce a merger just not too long back?
Yeah, they're going to become one thing. If it's approved, guess who by?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's just interesting to follow this and see where all this winds up. This could get kind of messy, hallelujah.
Well, exactly, Anthrax.
Well, I tell you what, but like I said, the thing got me, though, was this thing about the Abramoff. Oh, by the way, he was there two times, and neither one of them is the holiday that he already admitted he was there, and the time they took the picture with him with some of his clients, that isn't there either, and, you know.
No, it's these people are completely out of control. I mean, this is the same, you know, Luke, this is the same crowd that writes signing statements for Dear Leader, mm-hmm. and he enacts things into law and says, yeah, but I'm not going to follow him if I don't want to. I had my fingers crossed.
Well, a friend of mine was talking about it. We were talking about somebody said, well, Carl Rove's a genius. I said, yeah, right up there with Wile E. Coyote. I can tell. You know, super genius.
Yeah, I just wish somebody would send him his rocket-powered skate so he can fly into the side of a cliff already.
Oh, let's get him an Acme catalog. You know. But, you know, I mean, it's just one of these things, you know. And then I've been listening on our local right-wing radio. Of course, you couldn't get this mentioned. The thing they're trying to dig into now is the Da Vinci Code. And I'm sitting there going, okay, let's talk about a fictional movie about what some people think is a fictional book. Okay, this could be fun. You know.
Well, you know, let's see. You know, the lead story was the NSA database debacle, followed immediately by the fact that, what was his name, Chris or something on American Idol got voted off.
God.
And I'm sitting there. I got dents in the drywall now, Luke.
Well, I tell you what.
I'm just in my head.
I know people that get onto it about American Idol. I just tell them, I'll say this. I've never watched an episode of it because, you know how they say old things are always new again? Every time I look at the American Idol, I tell people, I say, Ted Mack Amateur Hour. You know? I said, that's
all it
is.
Yeah, with lighting. With better lighting and a bigger sound system.
And like I say, all he had to do was hold his hand over somebody's head, and you found out who won. You ain't got to wait for somebody to call in and find out about it in a week.
Oh golly! But
every time you turn around, it's like say they just recycle something, put a new name on it. Say, isn't this great? And it's like
yeah, because the $64,000 question was who wants to be a millionaire?
Hmm? You
sure.
Know, and I mean, you know, all these things. I mean, you know, but it's like I said, I worry about a place they've actually found a show that actually makes Howie Mandel look good. You know, and I mean, I like Howie Mandel, but you know, I mean, he's one of those people that he'll never fit in anything. Maybe they actually have found something he can do. So, but you know, I mean, it's one of those things. I had to get off the spying case because I was just at the point. I think my blood pressure was about to just do a Vesuvius.
Yeah,
you know, I mean it's just some of this stuff. It's like you're just wondering, you know, when you think they've done all the stupid things you can do, it's like no, they're going to prove us wrong. They're going to say, well, we do something a whole lot stupider than that. Don't you worry?
Yeah, but I mean with the NSA thing, I've gotten to the point where with these guys that I just keep expecting to fly the Death Star out from around the moon and say, hey, surprise, it's us.
This is where we've been spending all that money. Because surprise, guess what? It's like God, oh.
I know.
It's like saying, I think we should call Chris Carter. I think the X-Files was actually just a blueprint, you know.
Well, and that's what I was getting at, you know, whether it's A Beautiful Mind or and I was thinking of some other film, all this expanding list of movies because all of this is just straight out it's straight out of a movie script.
It's like, well, actually, if I had to pick a movie that I had to say this administration is, it has to, of course, be Dr. Strangelove. I mean, you know, it's like I expect Peter Sellers to come through the doorway in a wheelchair with one hand stuck up in the air. You know,
Mein Führer, I could walk.
Oh, either that or George D. Scott with the machine guns and they're just going away at the town.
Did it have to, George C. Scott, you know, right.
Yeah, well, like I say, we're still waiting for Slim Pickens on the bomb.
Yeah, that's rummy.
Oh, God. It's like, good, maybe, you know, they're talking about, you know, this thing for June 6th. Rummy, we want you to be real close so you can tell us how the effects are. Here, take the umbrella and the chair and go, just keep walking. We'll tell you when to stop.
Well, and you know, that was part of the stupid little spiel today too, Luke, was this has been a very successful program because we've not been hit again by tourists.
I love it. Somebody said one time, said every time he says that, said we're going to be hit by tourists? What? I mean...
Yeah, I know. yeah, hide like, the women and children from Walmart, sure.
Well, you know, like he always keeps saying, you know, they're saying about the illegal immigrants, said they have to learn English. I said, you have to be the first, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, God.
I'm tired of them. They make my head hurt. But yet today I was really anxious to get on the air, Luke, because I really, there are moments when this crap comes down that I want to make sure that I wasn't hearing things.
I know.
That this isn't just some sort of ugly little college flashback or something.
Well, you know, it's like we said, it's bad when you're sitting there looking at the one of the news channels and you're sitting there going, are you sure this isn't the Daily Onion? You know, I got to check the thing. Are you sure Daily Onion isn't on the air or something? It's like, because, God, I mean, you know, I mean, this is stuff you're sitting there going, Jon Stewart wouldn't do this. I mean, you know, I mean, even he has limits.
If I could figure out a way to sue Verizon and Bell South, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Well,
and they need it. They desperately need it.
I wouldn't doubt somebody will figure out a way to do it. Because, like I say, somebody's probably going to go through their agreements, and there's something in there. Somebody I heard was talking about it earlier this evening and said that somebody out in California tried suing them, essentially saying, you are the government when you're doing this.
That's true. Well, we got to take our break, Luke. Thanks so much, man.
Hi, Bob.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Stay sane, or at least try. Okay, it's time for our Cup of Joe report for the evening. And, you know, I got to take a sort of breath and sort of regroup because there's more rap out there. Wanted 200,000 AK-47. Yeah, really. I'm Bob on the Head On Radio Network.
She went with all the tossers who kick about a ball. They say their cops are crisis, and she has kissed them all. At the Arndell Center, she's up against the wall. I count 99 scores, that's no cricket. I count 99s, that will put me in it. But there's another story in the
It's the Cubba Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. There's been more talk than usual over the last few weeks about the role of religion in politics. The First Amendment states very clearly that the government should not establish any official religion. There are, unfortunately, all too many people in this country and people in positions of power who would like to change that and turn the U.S. into a Christian theocracy. Frankly, I don't know what they're so afraid of. The truth is that an atheist or an agnostic in this country isn't going to get elected to any position higher than dog catcher, and the higher up on the national scene you go, the more religious you're expected to be. And I, for one, am very uncomfortable with this public showing of religious faith as a prerequisite for public office. I don't claim to know much about anything concerning God, but I do know that politics and religion make a very bad mix, as we've seen in Afghanistan. And I disagree with those who say that any society that isn't grounded on religion or religious principles is like anarchy. If we can have immorality with religion, we can certainly have morality without it. Simply put, what I believe is none of anyone's business, and what anyone else believes is none of my business, and that's the way it should be. As far as I'm concerned, anyone is free to believe anything they want, but I draw the line when people write laws telling me what I should and shouldn't believe. Let's keep politics grounded in what happens in this life and let God tend to God's business. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works, and other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
When it rains, all my friends go away.
God doesn't like me anymore.
The wind could come and take your house. Santa won't know where to find me. Mommy scared the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647 to make sure they move on healthy and happy. That's 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you 24 hours a day. It's confidential and free. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Kim and John Elmick. Yeah.
done for the Thursday evening, this Thursday evening edition of Head On. Bob Kincaid here, you're there, and I am ever so glad that you are. And I'm interested in your thoughts. National Security Agency, turns out they are spying on us. And I mean, how freaking sad is it when the defense to this database thing is, well, yeah, we're collecting the phone calls, but we're not listening to them, okay? Jeez. No, but, the screw-ups go on. And this is the gang who can't shoot straight, all right? I mean, these guys that screw up a one-car funeral. You know that. From the UK. Some 200,000 guns. This is my rifle. This is my gun. Some 200,000 weapons the U.S. sent to Iraqi security forces may have been smuggled to terrorists, it was feared yesterday. This from the 10th of May. I believe our buddy Victor sent this in. The 99-ton cache of AK-47s was to have been secretly flown out from a U.S. base in Bosnia, but the four plane loads of arms have vanished. Orders for the deal to go ahead were given by the U.S. Department of Defense, but the work was contracted out via a complex web of private arms traders. Was any of them Manushir Gorbanifar? Then we know where they are. You remember Gorbanifar, don't you? And the Moldovan airline, oh my God, the Moldovan airline used to transport the shipment was blasted by the UN in 2003 for smuggling arms to Liberia, human rights group Amnesty has discovered. Follows a separate probe claiming that thousands of guns meant for Iraq's police and army instead went to Al-Qaeda. Mistake? Intentional act? Afraid they were running a little low on munitions? Because, you know, this has to continue. It's one of those chicken or the egg kind of things when you get right down to it. Because, you know, without the ongoing insurgency in Iraq, you can't continue to have sad, goofy, ancient, old freaks like Pat Roberts of Kansas sitting there on the... And God knows Jeff Sessions. The guy, the guy who is a walking, breathing embodiment of the fact that the IQ down here can't be that high. Because people elect him. On the floor of the... Why, and John Kyle of Arizona, why can't you people understand we're at war? But we're not! We're not at war. There's no war. There was an invasion. And the sad, sorry consequences of that invasion that follow on the heels of most unwarranted invasions, and most invasions are unwarranted. There's no war, Senator McConnell. There's no war, Senator Kyle. There's no war, Jeff Sessions, you damn dummy. There's no war. There's no war on terror. Most of America has by now figured out that you cannot have a war, pardon me, with an abstract noun. It don't work. You can't do it. How do you draw a bead on an abstract noun? I mean, this is Schoolhouse Rock stuff, okay? Amnesty chief spokesman Mike Blakemore said, quote, "It's unbelievable that no one can account for 200,000 assault rifles. If these weapons have gone missing, it's a terrifying prospect. American defense chiefs hired a U.S. firm to take the guns from the 90s Bosnian War to Iraq." Here's the fun part. "But air traffic controllers in Baghdad have no record of the flights, which supposedly took off between July 2004 and July 2005. Start the creepy music. They're in the Bermuda Triangle." No. A coalition forces spokesman confirmed they had not received, quote, any weapons from Bosnia and added they were not aware of any purchases for Iraq from Bosnia. NATO and U.S. officials have already voiced fears that Bosnian arms sold by U.S., British, and Swiss firms are being passed to insurgents. A NATO spokesman said there's no tracking mechanism to ensure they don't fall into the wrong hands. There are concerns that some may have been siphoned off. Yes, guns, siphoned. And I thought getting a mouthful of gasoline trying to... Never mind. This year, a newspaper claimed two U.K. firms were involved in a deal in which thousands of guns for Iraqi forces were rerouted to Al-Qaeda. Then there's Aerocom, the Moldovan air firm. Jesus, Moldovan air firm. This is like something out of a Woody Allen movie. The Moldovan air firm at the center of the 200,000 missing AK-47s was stripped of its license by its national authorities a day before the first shipment. Two other companies in the complicated sale claim to have papers proving the guns were delivered in Iraq but refused to show them. Amnesty has now called on Britain to clamp down on the arms trade. Fat chance. Spokeswoman Kate Allen said, it's out of control and costing hundreds of thousands of lives every year. The UK has a real chance to do something about it when the UN meets in June, but they won't do it. That last part I added. Because after all, Tony Blair is, I mean, apparently hanging out with Bush has an effect on your brain that is similar to that of syphilis. It just rots your mind, and the next thing you know, you're walking around saying crazy things like Saddam has weapons of mass destruction and he's going to bomb London in 45 minutes. You know, the really, really get the guy a pill and a white jacket crazy stuff. Jiminy. And before we get to our little break, a reminder that I have had sitting around on my desk 4 days now. I had it for Monday night show, and we wound up not doing Monday night show. Didn't get to it Tuesday, didn't get to it. Well, it wasn't prayer meeting stuff. But it is fit for just, you know, something right to ponder before you go to a break. This interview with the Dear Leader gave the German newspaper Bild. And in that interview, he was asked to name his best and worst moments as president. You'd think they would be obvious. I mean, I would think, you know, his best moment would be when he found out that the Supreme Court was going to install him as president of the United States against the will of the voters. That's a no-brainer because, you know, at that moment, you're happy. The crap storm only comes afterward, right? Not for Dear Leader. He said, I've had a lot of great moments. The interview was done Friday. The transcript was released Sunday. He said, the most awful moment was September 11th, 2001. Horse hockey. That might have been his best moment. And that's the moment that he falls asleep every night in his footy pajamas and the little hood up over his pointy little head, praying for another one. He said it took time to understand the depth of the terrorist attacks on the United States. I'd say the toughest moment of all was after the whole reality sunk in and I was trying to help the nation understand what was going on and at the same time be empathetic for those who had lost life. What the hell? Is this what was going through? Do we finally find out through an interview with a German paper that this was what was going on while he was sitting there with that deer in the headlights look like a cow staring at a new gate, sitting there in that elementary school classroom going, huh, what? But like I said, he said that he'd had a lot of great moments. And we can tick off a few of them. Holding hands and necking with the King of Saudi Arabia. That had to be a great moment, didn't it? Not for George. Nope. I'd say the best moment was when I caught a 7.5-pound largemouth bass on my lake, said Bush, laughing. He meant that. That's as good as it gets for him. In the tortured years that evil little man has been in the White House, that's as good as it's gotten for Vacation Boy. Yeah, I'd say it was the best moment was when I caught a 7.5-pound largemouth bass on my lake. You'll note the bass wasn't in his lake, it was on it. Bubble, okay? It's just pathetic. It's just sad. If it wasn't so daggum dangerous. Bush has traveled the world's most impressive cities, met with world leaders, and entertained celebrities. Yeah, you remember? Do you remember? It's so long ago. Do you remember? It was shortly into his fake presidency when the Kennedy Center honors or something were going on. And I mean, it happened. It really happened. He's there in the first row or whatever. He and Madam Margarita, Laura Pickles, whatever. And Stevie Wonder is playing. Remember this? And we all sort of hung our heads and went, oh my God, 4 years of this. Anybody we nominate can beat this fool. Because he sat there in the first row at the Kennedy Center honors with Stevie Wonder playing, the dark glasses, all of that, and he waved at Stevie Wonder. I'd say the best moment was when I caught a 7.5-pound largemouth bass. After that, I gotta take a break. I'm taking a break. I don't care what happens. I'm going to take a break. Waving Stevie Wonder and catching 7.5-pound bass, the presidency of George W. Bush. Then there was the time I played the guitar while the people drowned. Well, you know, not people, New Orleans people. New Orleans. And excitement. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, I'm Martin Sheen. When I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, I had an unforgettable mentor who believed in me and encouraged me to pursue my dreams. Today, there are millions of children across this country waiting for a mentor to help them. Improving the world starts with one child. Please, become a volunteer mentor for Mentoring USA. Give children the chance to develop and flourish and share in the future that belongs to them.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker and how my friend survived. He was hit in the head by a stroke and left unable to speak.
He couldn't believe it was actually happening and didn't know what to do, so he didn't get help right away. And it only got worse. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone realized what was going on and called 911. If they hadn't, my friend wouldn't be here now. If you're attacked by a stroke, call 911 immediately. The sooner you react, the better your chance of survival. I'm glad that he lived, but we're still praying and working on his recovery. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, get emergency medical help right away. Don't try to deny it's an attack by a stroke. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No, no more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
God, I think that song is hardwired into that. Even sitting here, waiting for the break to be over, that music starts, you know, and it's, I don't, you know, it's like you hear the entire song, just from the, you know, it's name that tune stuff. No, Big Bass, George Bush. Suddenly, again, another movie for the list. Big Fish. Big Fish. But it goes on and on and on in our phone call with Luke before the bottom of the hour came around. He mentioned the Abramoff business. Compelled by a court order to deliver everything having to do with Jack Abramoff's comings and goings. Can you really do that to Abram? The White House turned over, didn't even turn over as many comings and goings as we know for a fact there were. Because it's a national security matter. It's bad for national security. Subliminable. That's what it is, subliminable. And it turns out, also in the news today, from the Associated Press, at the same time that this little trickle of information was being turned over to Judicial Watch, the Bush administration's top procurement official, David Safavian, remember him? He's in his own fine kettle of fish now. He offered his assistance to Jack Abramoff when it began to be apparent that Jack Abramoff's Titanic had struck a big old iceberg. Emails did come out. February 22nd, 2004, Safavian messages Abramoff, "Let me know if there's anything I can do to help with damage control." And that was the morning that Abramoff's Indian tribal clients were revealed to have paid $45 million, most of it to Abramoff partner Michael Scanlon. You remember Michael Scanlon, right? Michael Scanlon is the guy who wrote the emails talking about whenever they wanted to get something done with their gambling interests, they would just get the religious wackos to do it for them while nobody else was paying attention. You know, if they wanted to stop a rival tribe of one of their clients from setting up a bingo parlor or some such, that, you know, they'd just call over to, and it was congressional testimony, it's all in the record, that they would just call Ralph Reed at the Christian Coalition and he'd get the religious wackos all worked up and they'd get their way. The Office of Management and Budget on Wednesday released dozens of Safavian emails. A few days before Abramoff's operations were exposed by the Washington Post, Safavian expressed a willingness to put an Abramoff lobbying partner on a government acquisition advisory panel. That's called graft. But the partner had left Abramoff's lobbying firm, quote, "So I assume that means you have no interest in seeing him named to the panel, correct?" That was the email from Safavian. Abramoff emails back, "Nah, not at all. He has left to give me more flexibility and make sure that he has more earning potential. He's still absolutely part of our family. Please put him on if convenient, and he wants to do it. Thanks so much, David." Then Abramoff gets tossed out by his own firm. Safavian writes him and says, "You okay? I figured you'd be besieged with phone calls, so I thought an email would be best. Just wanted to let you know that you're in our thoughts. Let me know if there's anything I can do. Kiss, kiss." In another email to Abramoff after his lobbying practices had come under investigation, Safavian explained that he would have to turn down a last-minute invitation from the lobbyist for lunch, noting that Abramoff had rejected an earlier offer for the two to get together. "When you spurned my invite..." Spurned? Who uses spurned? "When you spurned my invite, I called one of the industry sycophants and offered him an opportunity to suck up." Do you find that even... I'm sure you do. That is disgusting. "I called an industry sycophant and gave him an opportunity to suck up." They don't even make the pretense of being engaged in government. "Sitting here waiting to ask questions and putting moose in my hair." Whether it's FEMA or Office of Management and Budget or Jack Abramoff or, you know, I was out on the lake during one of my many vacations and I caught a big bass. It was 7.5 pounds. It was a largemouth. Not even playing at it. They know. I mean, this is and the band played Waltzing Matilda, okay? This is deck chair rearranging. Surely to God they know what they've done, don't they? They know what they're about. That's how the Senate did what it did today with the tax cuts thing. Two things came out of the Senate today. One was the tax cut for the filthy, filthy, stinking, dirty, rotten rich. "Going to pull his hood off for everyone to see." Oh, God. Gordon Solie had more dignity on WTCG when I was in eighth grade watching wrestling out of Atlanta. Oh, my God. So when we come back, your phone calls are more than welcome, if you're so inclined. If you're not, oh, have I got fun. I got tons of fun here. And we'll clear out the stack some. Oh, look, Iraq, UN report cites vast undernutrition among children, because we're pro-life, right? I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Just head-on radio news. I'm Bruce Birch. The USS Enterprise is en route to the Middle East. This aircraft carrier will be joined by the USS Abraham Lincoln and the USS Ronald Reagan, which is already in the Persian Gulf. There is wide speculation among military analysts that this buildup is consistent with the advent of airstrikes by the United States on Iran, with June being the targeted month. The U.S. tried to get a Chapter 7 resolution through the U.N. Security Council that would authorize military strikes on Iran in April, but was unable to do so. A number of independent sources place U.S. operatives in Iran already conducting clandestine operations, in addition to the Department of Defense using militant groups to conduct small-scale attacks on Iran. George Bush asserted again today that the NSA wiretapping was targeting only al-Qaeda and, quote, known affiliates, unquote. This was in reaction to a USA Today article that uncovered that the NSA wiretapping program was illegally compiling data on tens of millions of Americans, with the nation's largest telecom companies voluntarily providing the data to the NSA. Those companies, according to the USA Today article, are AT&T, Verizon, and BellSouth. Quest Communications refused to voluntarily surrender data to the NSA and refuses to this day. General Michael Hayden, who is nominated for the post of CIA director, is widely known to be the central architect of this invasive domestic spying program. In a related story, the government abruptly halted a probe into the domestic spying program. The NSA refused to grant the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility the proper security clearances to conduct a thorough probe into the program, which has not been proven to operate within the bounds of established laws. The Justice Department, unable to investigate further due to the NSA stonewalling, dropped the investigation and wrote a letter explaining why. Afghanistan, the first nation that Crusader George Bush invaded after September the 11th, has announced a record year for growing opium. The illegal trade, eradicated under the Islamic fundamentalist Taliban, has completely regenerated and is on the increase so much that the opium prices are dropping significantly. Governmental eradication efforts are floundering as inspectors accept bribes to look the other way. Ironically, the Taliban is using opium profits to fund their resurgence. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
While gas prices in the U.S. continue to rise, in some places well over $3 a gallon, in Venezuela the prices are cheaper than bottled water. With the price of gasoline hovering around 12 cents per gallon, the Venezuelans are enjoying the benefits of the consumer-friendly governmental subsidies of gasoline. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is currently devising a way to spread his cost equalization policies to the poorer areas of the U.S., much as he did with heating oil over the last winter. The Republican culture of corruption continues. Representative Jerry Lewis of Redlands, California, the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, is now under federal investigation. There is ample evidence to suggest that Lewis is connected to the crimes of convicted Republican Randy Duke Cunningham. In Laredo, Texas, 56 illegal immigrants were found locked into a refrigerated truck with the key in the ignition and the refrigeration running. The human beings were gathered near the center of the trailer, hovering close together for warmth and to avoid the freezing walls. They were apparently loaded into the trailer on the American side of the border. According to reports, a driver was not able to be located. An anonymous call led Webb County sheriffs to the human cargo. In Austin, Texas, musician and author Kinky Friedman took his independent campaign for governor to state authorities Thursday, presenting 169,000 voter signatures he hopes will get him on the November ballot. Friedman said, quote, "All I can say is thank God for bars and dance halls," unquote, when explaining where he got the signatures. When turning his signatures in, he wore his trademark black cowboy hat and had the ever-present cigar. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Right here. No, so you get an idea. I mean, it's emails from David Safavian to Bramoff. It's emails from Hutchinson to Brownie trying to hustle a little bit more on in a government contract. It's a president who is so detached that in the course of 5.5 years he can't come up more with more than anything than a lie about a fish. And we get the NSA, what, looking for more fish stories. My eyes just sort of go whoop right into the back of my head. And there's tons of it, I tell you. One in three Iraqi children is malnourished and underweight, according to a report released by the United Nations Children's Fund in Amman, Jordan, on 2 May. Get that?
Well, Bob, see, that's the problem. You never tell any of the happy stories out of Iraq. That means that 2 out of 3 Iraqi children aren't malnourished.
Undernutrition should not be accepted in a country like Iraq with its wealth of resources, said UNICEF Special Representative for Iraq, Roger Wright, from the Jordanian capital, Amman. He added that ongoing insecurity served to deter parents from visiting health centers for essential services, while many health workers had been kidnapped or killed in different parts of the country.
You know, the best part of my presidency, I was on vacation like I take so much, and I was down there, you know, I got a little pond down there on my ranch, and I caught me a 7.5-pound largemouth bass.
I got a little mic stand here, and it's got a little, you know, it's got a real heavy cast iron base, and it's the standard comes up off of it, and the microphone's attached to the end of the standard. And I just want to take it and just beat it into the damn tabletop. This hurts me. This physically, emotionally hurts me. And I know it does you too. According to the report, a full 25% of Iraqi children between 6 months old and 5 years old suffer from either acute or chronic malnutrition. We are bringing democracy to Iraq, aren't we? Because after all, with the exception of Latvia, we have the highest infant mortality rate in the developed world. A 2004 living conditions survey indicated a decrease in mortality rates among children under 5 years old since 1999. However, the results of a September 2005 food security and vulnerability analysis, well, It showed worsening conditions since the April 2003 U.S.-led invasions of the country. And you know that wasn't the beginning of it. What, did we kill a million children between the end of Bush War I and the beginning of Bush War II with the sanctions? Oh, yeah, I mean, no. My party don't get a pass on this. We're about accountability, sunshine. And I remember when Madeleine Albright was asked about those million dead children. And she said, well, you know, on the whole, I have to say it was worth it. This is the, you know, this is the kind of, there was a remark made during a prayer meeting last night. And I said something about, you know, I really don't know very many people who have committed any real sins. There's a real sin. A million dead children, a Secretary of State of the United States says, on the whole, I have to say it was worth it. And now she's authored a book saying that we have to take religion into account in international relations. Bug spray! God almighty! Aggravating the situation further is the fact that recent price increases for fruits and vegetables have made it harder for families to provide their children with balanced diets. Quote, my son is suffering from malnutrition because I can't afford to give him a balanced diet, said mother of three, Salwa Kamar. With my large family, it's impossible to buy good food for all of them. Too bad, lady! Too damn bad, because after all, the United States is pro-life, and if they were just in the womb, we might worry about them. All those soccer fields we're building might not be very busy in the future. You wonder? Gerard is with us, calling from Indiana. Hey, Gerard, you're head on.
I just want to do... call in tonight and go on record as being a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, really?
I know my ilk are kind of the scum of the earth right now, but I'm going to plod on the best I can.
Okay.
I was just thinking as going this whole NSA thing, you know, in the companies, the telecom companies that divulged these, you know, handed over these records to the NSA. You know, those are the same telecom companies that, you know, when you call them with a question about their bill, about your bill, they, you know, you get in touch with somebody in India.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, wouldn't it stand to reason that they could, you know, when they want to eventually review all the names, dates, and, you know, every time I call my dad with Alzheimer's in Michigan, could they just render all those calls electronically to India and have somebody go through them over there?
You know, there's if that's conspiracy theory, do you have some Reynolds wrap to spare? Because I need the helmet too, Gerard. That is a great point.
You know, I mean, it's just one thing. At some point, you know, it's not that hard to connect the dots. I mean, just, you know, you just talked about Iraq, you know. I heard a thing on NPR the other day about they were interviewing an author who wrote a book about the Ford presidency after Nixon resigned. And, you know, what happened and who was there? And, by the way, it was Cheney and Rumsfeld. Richard Pearl was there, and, you know, Cheney eventually was Senior Bush's Secretary of Defense, you know.
Right.
The author made a point that there hasn't been anybody in who has ran for the Republican presidency since Goldwater whose name wasn't Reagan, Dole, Bush, you know, and all those people, all these people that have just been recycled over and over, and these people have retained positions of power. Earlier in the chat room, somebody asked, how did we get here? Well, this is how we got here. This small cabal of people who have remained in power who are virtually able to do what they want in the world, in the geopolitical world. You know, are running things. And, you know, I get, You talk about holding our own party's feet to the fire. You know, when I hear stuff like this, this NSA thing, I think, you know, and I know that you've had issue with people like Ralph Nader, but Ralph Nader was the one who was out there for whatever reason, and however he got his financing, he was putting out the message that we have to have fully funded public elections. And, you know,
And see, I support that, Gerard. Honest to God, I do. The public funding of the political process is one of the few things that will save this country. It's you know, one of only three or four points that I think have got to be immediately addressed. Public funding of elections, the depersonification of corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
All of Ralph Nader's platform, I agreed with. But my problem arose, and I don't want to go down this road too far. My problem arose with his unwillingness to go to the party where he could have effected some of that change.
Yeah, well.
Because he marginalized himself and allowed himself to be marginalized.
Yeah, well, you know, I see what you're saying, I guess, you know, but there have been examples in the, look at Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown ran a campaign on an 8 number. And he didn't allow anybody to contribute more than $100. And he won 5 states from Clinton. When he finally, when they got to the Democratic convention that year, Clinton would barely let him in the auditorium. You know, the Brown people had nothing to say about any platform. And I know the politics. I know they had to, you know, we had to unify and win the election. But you can't diss people like that. You just can't do it. Not with the kind of people that are in power in the Republican Party and the things that they do and the downright dastardly things that they do. We just can't afford it. And these spineless Democrats, I don't care if there's a D behind their name or not. If they don't deserve my vote, they're not going to get it. On certain issues, they're just not going to get it. You know.
Well, you know, Agnes and I we had our primary in West Virginia on Tuesday, and Agnes and I talked, Gerard, and there were a whole bunch of spaces left blank. I carried through on my promise. I did not vote for Robert Byrd in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
I also and the fact of the matter is, there were a lot more people I didn't vote for.
Well, we had kind of the same thing here. I supported a progressive candidate. His one of his main things was we got to get out of Iraq yesterday. And the other candidate was going to run against Chris Ciccolo, who is the Republican incumbent now, who took the seat from Tim Romer, who was on the 9/11 commission, and who Chris Ciccolo was on the Tom DeLay gravy train. The guy Joe Donnelly, who won the primary, you know, he's just back and forth on the war, and I just can't give my vote to somebody who doesn't come down against the war. It's an immoral war, you know. When George Bush says we went there to protect democracy, everybody knows that's a load of BS.
Well, right, and no? You know, do you remember what they said about the First World War, Gerard? It was the war to end all wars. Well, the thing with Iraq that that people in America have got to get their heads around is this is the war to start all wars.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and this is where my conspiracy, this is where I get my conspiracy theory bonus. Okay. There, since 9/11, if you put out logic, I try to think of logically, you know, if George W. Bush was trying to protect Americans, why, what we found out from 9/11, we needed to have, as a first line of defense, we had to have first responders talking to each other on the same frequency. They needed to be able to coordinate their efforts.
They still can't do that.
It's been 6 years, and nothing has been done about that. Yeah. It was evident in Katrina. You know. So if Bush really wanted to protect Americans, wouldn't that be first and foremost? Wouldn't that be a logical thing to do?
Well, there are ads that run on CNN, Gerard, about port security.
Yeah.
That show the little yellow tag, and it's the only thing that stands between you, me, and a dirty bomb.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm not all paranoid about the Muslims over this one. I'm as scared, and it just quietly slipped away. We have had, in terms of number, in terms of sheer number, and not scale, we have had more attacks by right-wing Christians in this country of a terrorist nature than we have by Muslims.
Yeah, I agree. And where
the port thing is concerned, I'm as worried about some crazy follower of D. James Kennedy or Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson killing a million people as I am any Muslim fundamentalist, because the religion industry fundamentalists are right here right now.
Yeah.
All around us. But there's nothing crazy or conspiratorial in what you say, because among other things, we have precedent for what you described with the telephone situation, because after all, it was during the Clinton administration, and I'm not going to Clinton bash, but it was during the Clinton administration that it was brought up that with the Echelon program, that as long as the eavesdropping was being done outside the territorial confines of the United States, we could eavesdrop on anybody we damn well wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So when that call center in India turns its attentions to us, this phone call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Yeah.
Well, guess what you've got? You've now got a recording of a voice, so you can do voice match analysis and make sure you're talking about the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing crazy in what you say.
Bruce Birch brought it up the other day on the news too. I think it might have been on All Things Reconsidered. Is that there's money funneled now to local police departments to specifically earmarked to monitor supposed subversive entities, whatever that might mean. But and I'm quoting that wrongly, but they can do that, but they can't set up a system whereby emergency response teams can talk to each other in case of a major disaster. You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, but there was a whale of a Motorola contract out there, and no, they're not talking to each other on the same frequency.
Yeah.
I mean, even they don't even have a common dispatch they can talk to. You know, the fire department talks to fire department dispatch, police department talks to police department dispatch, and those two people aren't in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you wanted to be scared, if you wanted to live your life in terror, there are plenty of things to do it over that do not involve religious nut jobs from the Middle East. You know, Well, look at any major city's drinking water supply.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, and that can give you the screaming heebie-jeebies just thinking about what could happen to that. Look at the power grid. Look at the infrastructure that's been allowed to rot literally before our eyes. And those are all legitimate security concerns, not Aunt Mabel's onion bread recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I can figure it out, Gerard, and they can't. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I think they don't want to. They won't. They're not interested in it. There's nothing in it for them.
Their agenda is different. That's not part of their agenda. So why are they worried about it? You know, Kanye West was right. George Bush does not care.
And it's not just about black people. That's just higher on the list than, poor people, unrich people. He doesn't care. Best thing he ever did was catch a 7.5-pound bass.
thank God, he didn't pull a Cheney and hook somebody in here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, you know, at least he wasn't dynamite fishing or anything. Well, maybe he was. He didn't say how.
Yeah.
Maybe he literally caught it. He, you know, threw the dynamite in the lake, and the fish blew out, and he caught it right there. And he, look at this. I caught me a 7.25-pound bass. Yeah. Somebody would have gotten shot. You know, somebody gets shot when Cheney goes fishing.
But I just one other comment, and then I'll get off. But
sure.
I just would like to direct people. History to me is always good. You know, like I said, somebody asked in the chat room earlier, how did we get here? I'd like to direct people to an author by the name of Webster Tarpley, and he has a book called The Unauthorized Biography of George Herbert Walker Bush. And he's at www.tarpley.net. And the whole book is at that website, and it gives you some ideas, some seeds of where all this came from. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention also early is funny as things that come out of German media, because early in the Bush presidency, the W's presidency, Paul Wolfowitz, who was then I forget what his position was. It was before he went to the World Bank, but he told a German reporter that, and this was even before Downing Street and all this stuff about the buildup to the war. He said, "We had no choice in Iraq. The country swims on a sea of oil."
Now, I remember it well.
You know, and it's like nobody picked up on that. Of course, the American media by that time were already cowed, so they didn't pick up on that. But it's like,
well, no, and if they had the administration would say, "We didn't say that," and they, "Oh, well, okay, you didn't. All right, then we take it back."
but you know, it's just it's about the oil, it's about the power, you know. They just, and that's, I think, if people read that, you know, and now it came out today on AOL News, just that little blurb, and you know that both Daddy Bush and Brother Bush think old Jeb ought to, you know, take a shot at the presidency too. So,
yeah, they can't wait for him. I babbled a little bit about that at the close of the show last night. That's when I said that the Bush family doesn't care to govern; they aim to rule.
That's exactly right.
They want the name Bush to be synonymous with the name Caesar. Or Kaiser, or Czar, you know, somewhere 300 years down the road, the leader of this continent will be called the Bush. That's what, I mean, that they dream about that kind of crap.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if who was it here, the head guy in China who has just visited here?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably, you know, talking to Donald Georgie and saying, "Well, how's your repressive regime going? You know, things going well for you? You know, can we amp up the business here a little bit?" You know,
know those phone calls take place.
You know, well, when you got Walmart going over there and saying, you know, they get five vendors in a room and Walmart tells them, "Well, this is what we're going to pay for this particular widget that you want to produce," you know. And, you know, you're going to have, in order to produce this, you know, and trim your costs enough in order to produce this at this price, you're gonna have to move your company to China, you know. When you got somebody like that involved, you know, anything can happen. So,
and it generally usually does.
I've babbled long enough, so.
That's okay. Thanks so much, Gerard. Have a wonderful evening. It's always so very good to hear from you.
Okay, you take it easy now.
Take care.
Bye,
bye now. And a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls if you feel so motivated. 877-AGENT-FRED, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. You know, Agent Fred is liable to get a little, I mean, there's calls from all over the world coming into that number.
Sometimes I feel I've got to
gotta mess with him, man, Fred. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Into the heart of me, the love we share seems to go nowhere, and I've lost my light, for I toss and turn, I can't sleep at night. One
The First Amendment reads, "The people shall not be deprived or abridged of their right to speak."
The odds are, the person you just heard is an African American.
Because African Americans are twice as likely to suffer a stroke as white Americans.
That's twice as likely a stroke could rob you of the freedom to speak your mind.
The freedom to shout from mountaintops.
The freedom to tell your mother you love her.
And it's twice as likely a stroke could take your life.
Therefore, it's twice as crucial for us to do something about preventing a stroke.
Learn how you can help beat the odds.
Start by calling 1-888-4-STROKE or go online to strokeassociation.org.
Join the power to end stroke.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Cracking up. I'm getting ready to go. Had enough. I can't take it anymore. No pills.
I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and great to have you along and on board as we wind down toward the close of tonight's program. I got an email from our friend John, who points out to me that apparently in some translations, Dear Leader claimed to have caught a 7.5-pound perch. A 7.5-pound perch. And what's interesting about a 7.5-pound perch is the fact that 7.5-pound perches don't exist. The world record for a perch is 4.3 pounds. And I understand that people lie, you know, I mean, lying about a fish is axiomatic. But somebody had to clean that up and retranslate the German into largemouth bass. Jeepers. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Having a blue whale.
7.5-pound one?
No, a blue whale. It's a drink. It's vodka and Windex.
Woo! Party!
I know. It doesn't taste so good, but it is pretty.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. I imagine it packs a wallop and cleans out your inside squeaky clean on the way, too.
Yeah, Dee Grimes wouldn't agree with me, though, because, you know, she believes in cleaning the green or cleaning the green. But, you know, going back to this thing with Bush and the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, Bush says he caught something that weighed 7.5 pounds.
Yeah, he said he caught that was no. It's not just that he caught it. He said that was the highlight of his entire presidency, Jim.
Well,
catching a 7.5 pound fish.
Well, I think he dropped something that weighed 7.5 pounds, but I'm not going to mention it on the air.
Thank you.
But you know, this. Remember a couple of years ago when we were on the air back at WW, whatever. And,
yeah.
You mentioned a book, or a guy called in a book called Chatter.
Yes.
You know, I bought that book. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some other books published, too, by a guy named Risen called The State of War. And then Mr. Bamberry, I think his name is Bamberry, has just written a book called Pretext of War.
Yes, I saw him interviewed today.
All right. Okay. So, basically, you know, this has been coming down the pike a long time. And I would dare say that they have been doing this a long, long time, okay?
In some form or another, I tend to agree.
Well, you know, when you look at it this way, okay, you've got things like TRW,
Choice Point.
Now, they're going to take care of all your financial transactions, right?
Right.
So they have all your history, your financial history right down pat. They can give you a credit rating. And then you've got, if you have any type of telephone record or if you have any type of bank record or health record or whatever, you know, all this stuff is basically at their, you know, they can call and they can use it, you know, any way they wish.
Well, technically, it's not supposed to be at their beck and call because there are supposedly laws that are not supposed to be broken. But I know exactly what you're talking about, Jim, because some couple of years ago, I think it was, we found out that the Defense Department had been caught contracting with Choice Point, a company out of Georgia who incidentally was the same company that helped compile the list, the felons list that threw people off the voter rolls in Florida in 2000. The Defense Department under Bush had contracted with them to data mine for the DOD.
Well, you know, I think the point is well made by a lot of people that when it comes to this sort of activity, there may be laws against it, but, you know, when it comes to those laws, people so often look the other way, and instead lex, derelex, the law is nothing but latex, you know?
Yeah.
And they can just basically do anything they want to do. And, you know, when you...
But Jim,
black ops type thing, I don't know. But it's black ops is coming into the foreground, in my opinion. That's just my 2 cents worth, you know?
Well, yeah, I understand it. The question is, if people dare we just say that, well, you know, they bend the law when they, is accountability only for you and me? I mean, is there no accountability to be had in Washington? We at least ran Richard Nixon out.
Bob, that
can that not happen anymore?
A different time. That was an entirely different time. People were, I don't know, that was 30-some-odd years ago, and people have changed a lot. You've got a generation and a half that's been born, and, you know, the people who were just coming up then now are now in positions of responsibility and public service and all kinds of things, and maybe they just, you know, I don't know. People's attitudes have changed, and Americans have become more and more complacent, and, you know, we've become more and more involved with our own personal lives, basically trying to make a living and trying to put food on the table and stuff like that. But I think that the spirit of paying attention to public service and things like that is kind of died out. Maybe that's the reason that a lot of people just don't bother to vote anymore. People have just realized it's going to be the same old, and they're going.
Well, you had a 22% turnout there in Raleigh County Tuesday for a primary, and you're right, that doesn't bode well.
Well, the funny thing about it was our local friend here, Steve O'Brien, was bragging about how wonderful these voting machines were, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then on the news right after that, here comes the suit of Betty Ireland, the Secretary of State, against the very company that provided the machine.
No kidding. I missed that.
Yeah. They're suing them because of discrepancies and lack of contract fulfillment. And O'Brien had just gotten off the air saying how wonderful these things were and how they ought to be put in public shopping malls. Hell, I guess if he had his way, he'd put one in the bathroom, too. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, I thought to myself, it's strange. Here is this idiot making these statements about this voting machine system and extolling its virtues. And then here comes the newscast from the very same station where he's at, and he has access to this information. And the company's being sued.
God almighty. It doesn't surprise me. Interestingly enough, I found out talking to Agnes, she actually had an opportunity on Tuesday to vote by paper ballot there at her polling place.
Well, you know, here's the thing. As far as, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's a caller on this show, and he made the point that the older people who vote are intimidated by computers and things like that. They're not computer literate, and when they see something with touch screens and stuff like that, they don't know what. They rather than go and expose themselves to that type of, I guess, what they consider a possibly predatory atmosphere, they just stay home and they don't bother to vote. And
you know, that may be part of it because they are a large and to the Republican Party dangerous voting bloc if they get upset.
I mean, touchscreen panels have been around since 1981. You know, they're just grids that go across the screen. When you hit the coordinate, that's where you know, the input.
Yeah, I've used them in ATMs since I was in college.
Right. But, I mean, you know, this, I guess we're getting to the point where the information age is getting to the point where you will not have any privacy. Now, these phone companies, now, let me get this straight. Now, they want a list of your calling transcript, list of the transcripts of your phone bill so they can see who you've been calling.
Well, no, the plan as it has been described so far, Jim, is that a database is being prepared with the connivance of Bell South, Verizon, and AT&T that provides a transcript of every phone call you make and the number that you make it to, and their database.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. The Germans did that during World War II.
Didn't they?
Mm-hmm. They went in and found records, and they had transcripts of the tens of millions of phone calls that were made, and say, in France, during the occupation of that country.
Well, you know, I mean, we know that the data is available anytime, if there is a criminal prosecution, for instance, a subpoena can be issued for an individual's PIN records, and it will it'll deliver that kind of information. That sort of thing is routine to the phone company, but you have to jump through the hoop of getting the subpoena.
Well,
and there has to be, and the judge has to rule that there's some sort of nexus between the information sought and the prosecution pursued.
Well, I'm sure they probably have those subpoenas already printed up, and they've got them stacked up and ready to go. So all you got to do is just.
That's the thing with this one, Jim. They're not even messing with the subpoena. They've said, you know, it doesn't matter, it doesn't count. You know, this is. Aunt Mabel's walnut fudge may be the key to cracking the code to where Osama is in whichever cave.
Well, now,
and so there is no subpoena. There's no national security letter. It's just complete busybodiness.
Well, the way I understood it, there was a triggering mechanism. If certain words were used, that it would send your data into an area where it could be further examined by one of these computers over the NSA that can do like 30-something billion calculations a second. But I don't know.
That's part of the process. But the front end of it is that they have decided now, according to this USA Today story, they've just decided to catalog all phone transactions, period, all of them.
Well, you know, I guess we've gotten to the point where you better not say anything on the telephone unless you're prepared to hear it played back to you in court.
or in the concentration camp or Guantanamo Bay or, yeah. And that's wrong. I think it's certainly contrary to anything that the framers of the Constitution put forward.
Well, isn't there some type of congressional resistance to this?
I wouldn't call it resistance. Patrick Leahy held up USA Today in front of a camera today and said, shame on us. Arlen Specter said, ooh, we're going to have hearings. I promise we're going to have hearings. And he'll keep saying that until the Bush administration tells him to shut his yap. And then he'll do just like he did before and say, well, no hearings are necessary. I mean, that's about the extent of it. And Jeff Sessions and John Kyle of Arizona said, you got to understand, we're at war. I mean, that's it.
Well, I thought Bush said the war was over.
I know. Yeah, 3 years ago.
I don't know, Mr. Kincaid, I really don't. I tell you, I don't have any answers for this other than the fact that it is very frightening and extremely ominous. It really is.
Well, the worst part about it is while they're wasting, you know, this is like unto when the FBI had 70 agents combing the back roads of Arkansas on behalf of Ken Starr. One of those 70 agents might have been able to stop 9/11.
Well, you got a good point there. I agree with that.
And it's the same thing here. We're running around worrying about why somebody's calling 877-443-2366 a lot, or a lot of different places are calling that number. They're worried about that when, I mean, these guys aren't dummies, Jim. They're not even, they know what's going on. They've been using disposable cell phones for years. They know how to take the battery out when they move from one place to another so they can't be tracked.
That's true.
And my phone log ain't going to help win the war on Terra.
No, this is obviously going to be used for something else. And I think we both know what that is. It's some type of Orwellian horror show.
Yeah, and it's political. I'm convinced to this day that every time John Kerry went to the bathroom and said something on the phone, George Bush knew it in 2004. Now, you can call me a conspiracy theorist, but I believe that.
Oh, I don't doubt that. And I'm sure J. Edgar Hoover, if he can hear this now, would probably be laughing or whatever he's doing, you know, from his lead coffin in Congressional Cemetery. Because this is the sort of thing he loved to do, you know.
Exactly.
I certainly did that.
He did. Jim, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. It wasn't a whole lot, but like I say,
no.
Read that book on Chatter. It'll get it.
I've read portions of it, and it's, yeah, that's it was our friend Chris here in Alabama who suggested that book.
Yeah, and I bought it immediately and read it, and we talked about that thing.
And I happen to have an in with the public library down here, and I happen to know it's there, so I may have to read it. Just as soon as I get done with my Mark Twain biography.
Well, you know, I just hate to think that all that manpower and equipment is being wasted looking for basically nothing. And when they could be really using it to protect this country and to prevent the next event. I mean, these people from Al-Qaeda are extremely, very patient people. And they're going to wait and wait and wait and wait. And, you know, the energy that we're expending in the wrong direction could very well prevent some type of holocaust in a huge city in this country, a nuclear holocaust, you know?
Exactly.
That's right to me. I mean, we've got our emphasis on the wrong syllable of this one. But is Bush going to try to do an executive order, or what do you think he'll do?
No, there's no executive order. They're just doing it. That's the way they operate. They just do stuff. There's literally no paper trail on this. And he came out and gave his little statement today, Jim, and he said what really made him mad was the fact that somebody let the cat out of the bag again.
Oh, dear. But I heard him say he wasn't trolling or wasn't looking for this, that, and the other, which immediately made me close my watertight doors, because when he says he's not doing something, that means he is doing something.
That's exactly it.
Here we are speaking in anonymity again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
one thing, upside, and I'm going to get off here. Whenever these people say something, I'm afraid, I hate to say this, but I tend to really believe the opposite of what they're saying, and I hate to say that. I really do.
I know what you mean. Thank you very much, Jim, and have a wonderful evening.
Hey, you too. Thank you for your time.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Bye now. And quickly, we're going straight to the phones, but I have been asked to make mention of something, and I want to make sure I do. Over at our good friend's website, WD40.com, that's D-U-B-Y-A, D-U-B-Y-A, W, the letter D, 40, 40, WD40.com, a Mother's Day tribute coming up this weekend. And get in there and share some reminiscence of Mama. That's how you say that, Mama. Right?
Oh yeah.
Hey, Suzanne.
Yes. Hi there, Bob.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to call and say that I voted. Our election isn't until June, but I vote absentee. And so I got out my little ballot and all my papers and everything. And I even read the descriptions on the judges this time. They're not going to pull any wool over my eyes. I'm going to find out who these people are, right?
And right.
From their own descriptions and from nothing else. Yeah. So I did vote today, and I voted against Dianne Feinstein. I thought.
Well, I think, did she have, I mean, did you just leave it blank, or did she have competition?
Oh, no, she had some competition, so I voted for her competition.
Well, good.
It's a Democratic primary, right? So you vote for any right. Democrat. So I vote for any Democrat but her.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I didn't really get that choice with Bob Byrd, so I left him blank. I'm still mad at him about Scalito.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Dianne Feinstein was another one of those I saw wringing her hands on the television today. Oh, whatever shall we do about this ugly little spying program? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we, Suzanne?
Yes, we do.
Nothing.
Her mouth.
Do nothing.
She's supposed to, instead of sitting on her hands all the time or whatever she does with them. You know, I can't say a whole lot. It's just so very annoying. I mean, every other day I'm sending an email off to her or to Barbara Boxer or to my wonderful representative, Pete Stark, who you spoke to one night,
Yeah, he seemed like
really
a decent
wonderful.
Guy.
Oh, he's crazy. He is so much fun. He is really a kick, and I really like him. Some people don't, but, you know, they're stick in the mud, so as far as I'm
concerned. Well, he almost sounded like he enjoyed the conversation.
You know what? He probably did. It's hard to find intelligent people to talk to. I shouldn't say that, should I?
Well, no, I refuse to use the officially sanctioned notes. So, you know, maybe that does make it a little bit interesting.
No, he's really very good, and I have friends who go. He shows up at the senior centers around here quite often, and everybody goes and talks to him, and he talks to everybody. I even have a picture of he and I from something that I was attending. I take such horrible pictures that I thought I would rip it up, and I did.
Well, if I had any sense, I wouldn't allow it to be publicly seen, but there is that photo floating around on the Internet of me and Howard Dean that one night,
really?
So I know what you're talking about. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was at a fundraiser or something, and, yeah, it was one of those really warm days. It just, not a lot of fun. Anyhow, but I thought I would call and tell you that I did vote also. And even though they use machines to count them, there is a paper trail because the papers are there. Because you mark the little ballot, and then the county gets it, and then they tally them. They use a machine to tally them. But as I said, there is a piece of paper. So if things don't come out right, then we know where to go, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, have yourself a wonderful evening, Suzanne. Thank you for calling in and sharing
this. And give them hell, okay?
Going to try. Be back here tomorrow night swinging again.
Good.
All right, bye now. That's it for this evening. Thank you, everyone, for joining in. Thank you for those of us who have not heard this show live, but will hear it sometime tomorrow or the day after via the archives at whiterosesociety.org or via the broadcast, the delayed broadcast at Radio. At the radiopower.org studios and needs to replace a good deal of it. Do the right thing, please. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes, and I'm very grateful. She does a wonderful job. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Head on Radio Network's chief engineer is John Fox. Our on-site engineer is Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org provides all the streaming for both this show and all the other programs on the Head On Radio Network, whether it be Fourth Estate Radio, whether it be All Things Reconsidered, Cup of Joe, or our good friend Guy James. Tune in to Guy, by the way, 3 to 5 Eastern. What a refreshing break from some of the other stuff that's currently out there. Give Guy some of your time. It's easy to get on the stream just like what you're listening to now. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers of Tallahassee, Florida, makes sure all the bits and bytes go in all the right directions and keeps me from tearing out what's left of my hair when the machines go nuts. And we're greatly appreciative to our friend Peter. The show comes to you every night, as does every program on the Head On Radio Network, as a direct result of the support of the thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights.
And we would like to thank the carpenters and millwrights. They're out there building the American dream every day. They work for you. And as always, RMR, it's all for you.